No matter how intense the test, no matter how intense the temptation, we have the confidence, we have the assurance that our great high priest, Jesus Christ, understands exactly what we're going through. Because there's no temptation that is unique, but rather they are all common to man. And so Jesus in his humanity was tempted in every way, just like you and I, yet without sin. He's passed through the heavens. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us. And in those moments when we are feeling that pressure, we can run to the throne of grace anytime, anywhere, fall upon our face, get in the presence of God, and we receive grace and mercy to help, and we can overcome because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross of Calvary.
Welcome to Grace Chapel, where the Word of God is not bound by religion, tradition, denomination, or political correctness. Now let's join Pastor Jason Murphy as he concludes the message, The Purpose of Temptation, from the sermon series, The Danger of Being Overconfident.
Another reason that testing comes from the Lord is not only to prove what's in our hearts, to prove the faithfulness of God, to keep us humble, but he also disciplines us. We don't like that word, do we? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. I like this. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Isn't that crazy? They traveled around the wilderness, and their sandals didn't wear out. Listen to verse 5. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. Part of testing, part of things that happen in our life is God's way of disciplining us. He brings discipline to our lives. We live in a culture today that's really hard for people to grasp this because so many people, unfortunately, have been reared in homes where they didn't have a good earthly father. He was abusive or absentee or what have you. And so they have a hard time grasping the fatherhood of God. But a good father brings discipline, direction, order, stability, provision, protection to their family. And God is our father, and he provides all of that and more. Like what we do imperfectly, God does perfectly. And he provides all of that and more to us, his earthly children. And so as a good father, he brings discipline to our lives. Every now and then, we just need a good spanking. Every now and then, it's like God, as a father, he knows, you're getting a little too big for your britches. I need to humble you a little bit. You need a good spanking. And so what does he do? He allows a good test to come to our life. He allows a little temptation to come to our life. Puts us through a hard circumstance. So we remember to depend upon him. And the point of discipline, listen to me, if you didn't grow up in a home with a good father and he crossed the line, he went from discipline to straight up punishment, abuse, there's a difference, there's a distinction. You see, godly discipline, according to Hebrews 12, godly discipline is to bring about righteous behavior. Now, if done right, discipline hurts. If you spank your kid and they laugh, you didn't do something right. The purpose of discipline is not to inflict pain upon your child. That's an abuser. The purpose of discipline is to produce righteous behavior. And the Lord then, as a good father, and we as his children, will bring discipline to our life, not for the sole purpose of inflicting pain, even though discipline can be painful in the moment. The ultimate end is to do what's good, as we read, so that we produce righteous behavior and righteous fruit. Once we come through the testing, once we come through the discipline, then there's the blessing. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 through 10, it reads, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper," like mineral wealth would be contained. "And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." Because remember, in the end, God desires to do you good. God's desire is to bless you. But that does not mean that there aren't times of testing, of temptations, and discipline. because it's through those means that you understand the goodness of God and the blessings that he lavishes upon us. And so when we read this passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it's real easy for us to be discouraged. Like, man, how in the world can we avoid all of this? The temptations all around us. Idolatry and sexual immorality and grumbling and testing God. No, change the way we view it. It's not negative. It can be positive because it gives us ample opportunity every day to prove our faithfulness to the Lord and depend upon him for his strength and his grace and his mercy so that we can enjoy the blessings that he intends to give us. Now let's look at the second part of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Now, this may be a little eye-opening for you, but to me, man, this is a great truth. You see, this verse right here, this part of 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, should bring encouragement to us. Because here's the thing. All people are tempted. All people are tempted. And there is no temptation that is unique. Instead, they're all common to all men. Now listen, every individual is unique, right? Like there's not another you, thank God. All individuals are unique. And the circumstances surrounding your temptation may be unique. But the temptation itself is not unique. It is common to all people. You follow that? Why is that important? Because you're not allowed. The Apostle Paul removed the excuse. You're not allowed to say, but you don't understand. The temptation was so heavy. You've never been through anything like that. Everybody has. Everybody has. You will never experience a temptation that someone else has never experienced. Think about Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, look at Matthew chapter 4. I'll give you a second to turn there. That's in the New Testament to the right side of your Bible. The first book after Malachi. So in Matthew chapter 4, this is interesting. Listen to the terminology here. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Some translations read, driven by the Spirit. In other words, he was compelled by the Spirit. Like, he had to go to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God the Father willingly, knowingly sent the Son in the wilderness to be tempted. Why? To show, was it a test or a temptation? Why the wilderness? Because Jesus was recalling, regathering his Israel people. Okay? So everything that Israel failed in the old covenant, Jesus was fulfilling and succeeding. And therefore, we are too when we're connected to him. So he goes to the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. They went in the wilderness 40 years. So listen to this. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning verse number 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Let's never forget, Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. So in his humanity, he got hungry. In his humanity, he was thirsty. In his humanity, he got tired. He slept in a boat and so forth. Okay? So he fasted 40 days and 40 nights and he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. There is no temptation that is only unique to you. And the temptation of Jesus here in Matthew 4 proves it. Now look, Jesus as an individual was unique, right? The God-man, born the virgin, lived a sinless life. I mean, he's unique. The circumstances surrounding his temptation were unique. I mean, a literal confrontation between Jesus and the devil. Good old sword fight. Could you hear it in your head? They were quoting scripture. Satan was quoting scripture out of context, but he was quoting scripture. And Jesus had to say, no, it is written, it is written. The word was using the word. Can you imagine? Correcting the false interpretation and application of the scripture. Now, here's the thing. Even though Jesus is unique, and even though the circumstances were unique, the temptation themselves were not. Off the top of my head, I just literally wrote down five things. And there could be many more. I get that. But just five things. I think it's pretty applicable to us today in our culture. One of the temptations that Jesus experienced that is common to all people is the temptation to doubt your identity. Did you notice that in verse number 3? After Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, right? And the tempter, the devil came to him and said, hey, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you really are the Son of God, meaning, are you? Are you? Here's another one. Lack of trust. Jesus fasting 40 days, 40 nights. He's in the wilderness, right? And he's fasting. So the devil comes to him and says, if you are the Son of God, then command these stones to be turned into bread. In other words, is God really going to provide for you? I mean, all I see is stones, and you're hungry, brother. Here's another one. Selfishness. Selfishness. Think about this for a second. If you are the Son of God, then command these stones to be turned to bread. In other words, hey, if you are the Son of God, prove it by turning these stones into bread. In other words, work a miracle for selfish reasons. You see, when Christ worked miracles in the New Testament, they were for a redemptive purpose. There was a reason for it. Jesus just didn't go around working miracles for the sake of working miracles. It accomplished a redemptive purpose. But here the temptation was selfishness. Do it for your own personal gain. How about this one? Testing God. That was flat out mentioned, wasn't it? So the devil's like, well, he's doing all right with this. Now, he took him up to a pinnacle of the temple, like really high, overlooks the valley. Said, okay, jump, throw yourself down, and the Lord will command his angels to come and catch you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He was actually quoting scripture, by the way. The devil was in that scenario. What did Jesus respond? It's also written, don't test God. Like, that's not the point. God can preserve you, right? God can preserve you. And he's not done with you till he's done with you, right? But it's probably not a good idea to go lay down on 240 and pray that you don't get ran over. I mean, he could really protect me. Cars swerving everywhere, just, you know, ride right over you. I mean, he could do that. I believe in the miraculous power of God. But I'm not going to test him. How about idolatry? Jesus was tempted with idolatry. Right? The devil showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, I'll give you all these. All you got to do is bow down to me. Idolatry. Worship anyone or anything other than God. They all mine anyway. Right? I just got to go through the cross first. It is clear that Jesus' circumstances surrounding those temptations were unique. Like, that's not going to happen to us. But it's equally clear that the temptation themselves are very common. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote what he did under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. There's no temptation that is not common to all men. Like, no matter the circumstance you find yourself in, if you just stop and think about it, the temptation itself is very common. Every human being deals with these issues and more. We're all tempted to doubt our identity in Christ, aren't we? Am I really a son of God? Am I really a daughter of God? Am I really an overcomer? Am I really free from addiction? Have I really been changed? Have I really been delivered? Everybody faces those issues from time to time. Temptations, I should say. Testing. Everyone faces temptation to lack trust in God. Right? Something goes wrong and, man, we're like, man, I guess God's not going to provide. Goes back to testing God. Is God really in our midst? Is he really going to provide? And what if he does provide? And what if I don't like it? God provides something for you and you're like, thanks. You know what I mean? Like, deep down inside, you don't like it, but you know you're supposed to, right? Because that's God's provision for you. Those are issues that we all deal with. Selfishness. You do things for selfish gain, reasons, or motivations. That's sin. That's sin. Man, it is prevalent in our culture today. You hear it this way. You hear it this way. You know, I got to put me first. No, no, you don't. That's like the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches. You know, I got to take care of myself, so I take care. No, no, you put others first and God will take care of you. When Jesus received the news that John the Baptist, his cousin, by the way, who was 6 months older, right, was beheaded, died, Jesus was grieved, but then he turned around and ministered to the crowd. Some of the best ways to deal with grief and anger and that kind of thing in your life is to find ways to minister to other people. It takes the focus off of you. Of course, we're all tempted to test God, maybe not by laying down on 240, but I mean, there's other ways that you test God. Murmur, complain. And of course, idolatry is huge in our culture because it's huge in the human heart. Sinful man wants to create a God in his image rather than understanding the reverse is true. God has created man in his image. But according to Romans 1, as we rebel against God, we begin to worship the creation rather than the creator. Okay? And we create a God that's appeasing to us, that appeals to us and our flesh and what we can serve. It's idolatry. You see, no matter what form that takes, no matter where you live on the planet, these are testings and temptations that are common to every human being. There is no temptation that is unique to you. So therefore, you do not have the luxury, you do not have the excuse to say, but you don't understand. The temptation was so much. It's so hard. You haven't been there. Yeah, I have. Maybe not the same exact circumstance, but the same temptation. Lord willing, next week we'll go on to the fact that God is faithful and he'll provide a way of escape. We'll deal with that next week. For now, I want to close with this passage of scripture. It's Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 through 16. I didn't want to leave it there as like, you have no excuse. I mean, you don't. I don't either. There's no temptation that's unique to just me. There's no temptation that's just unique to you. Instead, it's common to all people. We all have to deal with these temptations and testings. But from a Christian perspective, here's the great thing, the important thing. During our various temptations, we have the hope. And by the way, the Bible defines hope as confident expectation. It's not a, oh man, I hope so hope. It's a no so hope. I have the confident expectations it's going to happen. So we have the hope of passing the test because we have help to pass it. We have the hope of passing our test and temptations because we have the help to pass it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Since then, we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And that is true. I just spent 40 minutes teaching you this. He's tempted in every way. You might say, well, Jesus was never married. He don't know what it's like to have the conflict with your wife, or maybe he didn't have children. He didn't know what it's like to have children. No, 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 because it's interpersonal relationships. And there are biblical principles that guide how I interact with my wife and my children, and there are biblical principles that guide how I interact with you. So temptations still come because we're dealing with personalities and how to get along with one another. So he's been tempted in every way, just like you and I, yet without sin. Here's the key, verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Isn't that wonderful? No matter how intense the test, no matter how intense the temptation, we have the confidence, we have the assurance that our great high priest, Jesus Christ, understands exactly what we're going through. Because there's no temptation that is unique, but rather they are all common to man. And so Jesus in his humanity was tempted in every way, just like you and I, yet without sin. He's passed through the heavens. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us. And in those moments when we are feeling that pressure, we can run to the throne of grace anytime, anywhere, fall upon our face, get in the presence of God, and we receive grace and mercy to help. And we can overcome because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Amen. So you are never tempted with something that is unique, and you're never tempted with something that can overpower you, because Jesus is greater. Amen and amen. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I do not know what you're dealing with individually, but I know that there must be people in this congregation who are dealing with these tests, these temptations. The pressure can be immensely intense. Maybe you're doubting who you are in Christ, doubting your newfound freedom in Jesus. Maybe you're struggling with trusting God to provide for you, to be with you. Maybe you're struggling with testing God, like, is he really going to do that? Or struggling with being thankful with what he has given you. Idolatry. Deep down, you've put your job, your money, your spouse, or another person in the place of God, and you're thinking those things are going to fulfill you, but they're not. They're not. Only Christ. Only Christ. So I don't know what you're struggling with, but this I know, no matter what you're struggling with, it is common. You're not abnormal. You're just a human. Jesus knows exactly how you feel, what you're going through. And he said, come to the throne of grace so that you could find mercy and grace in your time of need. And so let's put that into practice, shall we? If you're struggling in some area, take a moment to get into the presence of God. And find grace, find mercy, find the strength to overcome. You don't have to give in. You are more than a conqueror. Jesus is greater. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast from Grace Chapel. For more information about Grace Chapel, please visit our website, ColliervilleGraceChapel.org. That's ColliervilleGraceChapel.org. We invite you to attend our services in person here at Grace Chapel. Grace Chapel is located at 730 South Byhalia Road. That's 730 South Byhalia Road, Collierville, Tennessee. Service times are Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We look forward to meeting you at Grace Chapel, proclaiming grace, transforming culture. This is a Belly of the Whale production.